everybody smiling. You're in a new year. And you know what? The best thing is the Lord still loves you. It's good to come in and feel the presence of the Lord. There's people sitting quietly and considering where they are, why we're here, to worship the Lord God. Some of us are away, of course, being this holiday time. But it's good to see those that are here, including Brother Steve. He didn't bring his wife, so I've growled at him about that, but that's all right. She needs home up north there. Steve Main, Lord bless you. And I see Brother Taz has got a couple of friends here. You're very welcome. And that's about the... Oh, Robin and Peter Eccles-Smith just walked in. That's why I was a little bit late getting up here, just to make sure I didn't forget them. Mind you, we see them quite often from time to time. Shall we just ask Brother Paul if he would come and open in prayer? That would be very good. I'm only a week late. I was going to do it last week and then wrote it down and didn't call him. My apologies.
Jesus. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for your presence with us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this lovely building that we can come join you, Lord, in worship and praise and have time of peace and fellowship. And we thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you will be with us and watch over us in all that we do. Take care of those, Lord, that are away from home at the moment, Lord, on holiday this time of the year. And, Lord, those with physical needs, Lord, that, Lord, you will take care of all of us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your healing hand, that we can put our trust in you, and we praise your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Paul. Shall we commence by singing not 3, 2, 1, but Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Shall we stand as we sing? Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise God. You know, singing this chorus is exactly what I need. So often when I hear it sung, there's something comes alive within that's already there, but it becomes something that I wanted, and that's the presence of the Lord. And this is for eternity, not just for today. So we got to learn to worship our Lord. There's another lady came in too, I saw came in late. Welcome to the service. And any all those people that are listening in overseas and at their time of listening. And more of them coming in. Hey, Chris and family. Lord bless you. Very welcome. He always said he's going to come on back. He used to live in Gisborne years ago. Let's sing this again. Think about the words as we sing it, as applies to your heart. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain upon the tree. By His stripes we are healed. By His blood we are healed. Noah had drifted on the flood many days, but he was still waiting for the Lord to do what he was going to do. And he trusted in the Lord. You know, it's a good reference to us. Trust in the Lord, not just because other people do it, but we personally need to trust the Lord as pertaining to our situation. Noah had drifted on the flood many days. He searched for land various ways. Thank you. You know, the Lord gives us a sign too. Anybody know what it is? The thing is, there's something in your heart, not your head, in your heart that says, I need to do something about God. Some need to come and meet God. That is just to receive Him. Others need to know what to do when God says do this or do that, or don't do this and don't do that. The thing is to introduce God into your life. Know that He's walking with you every day, all the time. That's our sign that He's there. Let's sing 312. I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high. Now this is where we're going to be. If we do the right things, sing it to Him from your heart.
I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high. When the redeemed are gathering, how we'll raise a heavenly anthem in that city in the sky. When the redeemed are gathering, when the redeemed are gathering in, that's you, washed like snow, and free from all sin, praise you, Lord. I will shout, and I will sing, when the redeemed are gathering in. There will be a great procession over on the streets of gold when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing, oh, the city will be gold when the redeemed are gathering.
Watch my soul.
Amen. Are you one of the redeemed? Are you sure you're one of the redeemed? And for the people, you got the token inside. That's right. That's what it takes. You know, a lot of people think, oh, well, I'm not good enough. And they did right about that. They're not. But God allows for them. He covers every sin and every problem, every decision. If you're one of His, you're good enough. Because He does the work, not us. There's nothing we can do about it other than receive the Lord Jesus Christ who did it for us. Amen. Let's sing All I Want to Do Is Love Him, number 383. And that's what it takes, loving the Lord God. Let it come from your heart.
All I want to do is love Him. So glad I feel His love for me. Jesus paid the price of redemption on the cross of Calvary. So every day my heart will praise Him. I know I'll never be the same. All I want to do is love Him, love Him. Holy name. All I want to do. Redemption on the cross of Calvary. So every day my heart will praise Him. To say, all I want to do is love Him.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. You and it's a daily love, an evening love, all day love. It never stops. And if Satan tries to distract you, kick him out and just come back and love our Lord. You'll find that it's a real comfort. Thank all you fellas in the back seats. Good to see you. Lord bless you. Okay, let's sing another one here. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. And make sure that we do. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Thank you. I was singing that once, you know, and I realized that I was being a fibber. Wasn't telling the truth. Because Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I do now. But at the time, I was just a little bit careless. Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. I believe in the Lord. Yep, I love Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. But that's not having the Lord in your heart. And we've all got to, you know, we all can go a little bit more if we do that. Let's sing it once more, and then you may be seated. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Yes, I do, Lord. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you. You may be seated. And we're just going to a prayer list like right now, and that just shows you how we appreciate our Lord, because he undertakes for us. So, I've got on the very top Colin Searle, which is my brother, one below me, one not below, but he's number three out of the nine. However, on the very first day of this year, 7 o'clock in the morning, they get helicopter to land in his place where he lives and flies him up to Waikato Hospital with a severe heart attack. And it's a stent that's been put in, and I understand that he's A-OK and he's coming back either today or tomorrow. So the family's been praying for him, but right on the very first day, that's how what they woke up to. So we just ask the Lord to continue to bring him on through. And another dear brother here, but spiritual brother, please uphold Brother Andrew, right down the front row, who has been diagnosed with bowel cancer for total healing to the glory of God. But he tells me this morning that the hospital's not so sure that it is that. Well, they must have checked out with the Lord. Well, we've been praying for you, brother, and your family. So we've been praying for you. May the Lord bless you. Heal you. Our sister in the back seat there, Melissa Mead, is for healing. She is suffering with pain, but is trusting God for a complete healing. He does it, my sister, as you well know. Just continue to be loving our Lord. There's another one here, Debbie Walker, used to live in Kawarau, now lives in Australia with a family. Please pray for Debbie Walker, who has been diagnosed with life-threatening cancer and desperately needs healing from the Lord. Please pray also for Brother Gary and the whole family over there. They love the Lord Jesus Christ, so just remember them. There's another one here. We don't know this. Anne, A-N-N-E. And she's asked, please ask God to guide the life partner that he has chosen for herself. And so just remember, Anne. We also pray for Israel before their Lord, that the Lord undertakes for Israel. Those that pray for Israel will be blessed. And we do it frequently and ask the Lord to do that. Now, is there any unspoken prayer requests here signified by a raised hand that you have, that you would want the Lord to take care of? See, we don't have to read it out from here. It's just to know that it's in your heart that you want attention from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knows every single detail of your life, past, present, and future. He knows all about it. He knows everything. So he knows what to do. So if we give it to him, put all our problems and our healings at the foot of the cross and leave it there. Some people, you know, they say, oh, Lord, I've got this problem. I've got that problem. I don't know what to do. So they give it to him and they put it at the foot of the cross, that problem. And then they go from the cross. They take the problem back with them. Let God do it. We don't have the power. We don't have the expertise or the anything like that. Let the Lord heal you. Just take it. Let the Lord do it. And so let us just pray now. And those who we're praying for, people that you know that need the Lord or would like the Lord and don't know which way to move, think of them as we pray. Lord Jesus, we do appreciate you, Lord, as the chorus was saying, very much, Lord. And I know through my own experience, the more that I appreciate you, the more I need to appreciate you, and I know what you've done. So we're very, very thankful, Lord Jesus, that you are with us. And like the hymn we sing, Never Alone, we're never alone. You're with us all the time. Whether we're up high or down low, whatever the need is, pain, sickness, confusion, all of those things, leave it to the Lord. And he's right there with us. All we got to do is ask. And that's what he wants us to do. Lord, we just pray for these people that I read out on the list. All of them, Lord, not one is forgotten. And we thank you for doing it. Help us, Lord, to be sure what we're praying about. And help us, Lord, to look for the result. Not just to not worry about it. Just leave it to the Lord. And if we desire it that way, the Lord's way, there will be a result that we'll be happy with. Thank you for doing it, Lord. Lord, I was just thinking, I haven't got it on the list, but I do pray, and I'm sure we all do pray, and even those on the internet that are listening and now, pray for all the doctors and nurses, particularly in England and in America. It is so terrible, that disease, and they are wearing out. Those people are wearing out. The doctors and nurses particularly, some of them have even caught it and gone on. Lord, I pray for them. We pray for them, Lord. And we pray also, Lord, for those that are listening in, for their needs. It may be at a couch at home. It may be round a table. It may be in the car, wherever they are. The Lord knows. And we pray for their needs that they're holding up right now. Thank you, Lord, that we have the access to Almighty God. And we are welcomed by Almighty God. And you will see us through. It's so good, Lord, to have a place of worship. We thank you for our building here that's set aside for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else, just the Lord Jesus Christ. Just bless us, Lord, as we continue in this service. Amen and amen. Okay, well, let us sing a chorus and maybe two, and then Brother Howard will come. This is Create in Me a Clean Heart, number 352.
Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit. Thank you.
next chorus, just a short one before Howard comes, is cast all my cares upon you. Do you know of another friend that says, give me all your problems? Even one? Give me all your problems. Only the Lord does that. And only the Lord can do anything about it. Let's sing about the words as we sing it. Cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. And anytime I can go, just what to do. I will cast all my cares upon you. I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all my burden down at your feet. Any time I don't know just what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you. Amen. You may be seated. Let's just pray quietly. Lord Jesus, that is true. We cast all our cares upon you. What a cruel thing to do. But Lord, you asked us to do that. And sometimes we say, oh, it's too terrible. I just don't deserve it. And we don't. But it's not too much. Our God can do anything. Anything. We got to claim what he promised to do. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Bless these people. Bless those that are listening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you all this morning. Good to be here. First day of the year. Not first day, first week of the year. First holy day. Lord's Day. So we just pray that God will bless us and that we will cast our care upon him, for he careth for us. That's the scriptures. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. If he cares for you, he knows what's wrong with you. He knows exactly what you need. He knows we have financial problems, physical problems, spiritual problems. But the good news is our Lord is coming soon. That's what we live for. Praise be to God. God is so good. Good to see you, Tony Ann. I pray especially for you this morning and for your husband. That God will bless you. So that's wonderful. I thank God for that. Praise be to the Lord. So we just welcome all the visitors here. Brother Steve, God bless you, brother. I hope to see you next weekend too. That'll be good. And we just appreciate the body of Christ. And God, to have Brother Curry here again. God bless you and Sister Wainui. And the family. God is good. So I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word. It's found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verse 17. For the Lord your God is God of gods. You notice it's got a little G at the end of that. Because there's no gods outside our God. Amen. But men have gods. But they're not gods. They are demons and devils that deceive people. For our God is God of gods, Lord of lords, little L. A great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. May God bless his word. I also like to read from Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." He doesn't care who you are. He doesn't give any special treatment to anybody. So may God just bless his word. You may be seated. I just want to speak about that very subject. God is no respecter of persons. Because I'm glad of that. Doesn't matter who we are, Peter. He still loves us, regardless of our place or lack of our place or whatever it is. So I pray that he will speak to us today. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we just ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that you would come to us, Lord, in your sweetness and power, in your great anointing and unction, Lord, and make this word live in our hearts. I just pray you'll quicken it afresh to me, Lord, because I think about it often. I pray that you'll bless every brother and sister here and those joining with us around the world, wherever they are, whatever country they're in, may you bless them too. We commit this word to you in the name of the Lord Jesus for your glory. Amen. I want to start with another reading, and you don't have to stand up. It's quite long. But I want you to concentrate on this story because it's one of the saddest stories in the Bible, to say the least. But I pray that God will speak to you through it. And you need to concentrate on what's been said. I'll try and read it slowly and clearly. And then I'll explain a little bit about the story. It's found in 1 Kings chapter 13. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 31. Nancy, I've changed that last verse. And it says this: "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against this man of God, cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, 'O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name,'" God named him, "'and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places and burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee.' And he gave a sign the same day, saying, 'This is a sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out.' And it came to pass, when the king Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar of Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, 'Lay hold on him.' And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. Pushed it out, it froze. Very serious. And the altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, 'Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored again.' And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, 'Come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward.' And the man of God said unto the king, 'If thou would give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place, For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way thou hast camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. So we know what happened. It's very clear. God did a supernatural work on that altar, broke it off, and all the ashes poured out supernaturally. The king's hand was frozen, and God, by his grace, restored it. Now, there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel. Just remember the man of God and the old prophet. Both called of God. Definitely. And his son came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. He said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? He said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor return again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, watch this. I am a prophet also, as thou art. And the angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread, drink water. But he lied unto him. It's a real lesson in this story. So he went back with him, and he did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandments which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back, and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled him for him the ass, to wit, that is to say, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him on by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. Listen to the words. And the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by, and they saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet had brought him back from the way, and when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard of thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And he spake to his son, saying, saddle me the ass. And they saddled him. and went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass still there. The lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God, laid it upon the ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came into the city and mourned and buried him. And he said to, and he laid his carcass in his own grave. And they mourned over him, saying, "Alas, my brother." And it came to pass after he had buried him that he spake to his sons, saying, "When I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones." May God bless the reading of his word. I just believe it's a very sobering story. The story from 1 Kings 13 we've just read, it's very sad. Very sad, what I believe, to say the least. It's also a sobering word of warning to all believers. God allowed this to be written. He could have just let it go, but God had it written. God is not mocked. We all need to fear the Lord more than we do. We have an Old and New Testament reading, both confirming our lesson today. There are many examples in the scripture which confirm to us this lesson and this truth that we're talking about. God is, without question, no respecter of persons. No matter who you are in the world, even your standing before God, there's no special ones. We must remember this. And there are many examples in Scripture confirming our lesson today, and there's many examples that confirm this truth. No matter who we are in this world, you must obey His word or suffer the consequences, whatever they may be. Now, the background to Jeroboam is this. Israel had separated from King Rehoboam, very similar name, but starts with R, Rehoboam, and elected their own king. And this king was Jeroboam. And this King Jeroboam used spiritual politics to strengthen his position. He built idols locally where they lived, and told the people, "Do not go up to Jerusalem. You can just have your church right here where you are." Basically, that's what he was doing. In doing so, he led the people into idolatry and the worshipping of Baal, the false god. What a curse goes with trying to manipulate people for your own ends. Terrible. May God be merciful. But God sees all that's going on behind closed doors. He sees everything we think and do from today and all days. So God sent his word. God sent a man of God down to King Jeroboam, who was actually burning incense on the altar of Baal when he arrived. There's the king's down the altar and he's burning the incense and whatever he's doing there. On the altar of Baal, and in walks the man of God. He came right up to him. And he cried against the altar, the man of God did, in the word of the Lord, and said, "O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child," now listen to the words, "a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name," God named him, "and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places," they are the priest of Baal, and burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. When God speaks anything, brother and sister, when God speaks anything, it comes to pass. It's not airy-fairy. It's right on target. And you know, when he prophesied, this young prophet, I say he was young, I don't suppose he was, he may have been. This man of God, when he prophesied, it took 350 years to come to pass. But you know what? It always comes to pass. Right on time. So we just need to rest in that. And he was born 350 years later. His name was Josiah. And he burnt the priest's bones on that very altar, exactly according to the word of the Lord. And I love the accuracy of God's eternal word. Who loves the accuracy of God's eternal word? You can rest your soul upon it. What God says is yea and amen. It seemed as if Josiah was going to miss the burning of the bones. Let's just read this. It's really interesting. Josiah, we're going 350 years ahead now. There's Josiah. He's come in. He's broken down all the altars. And let's read it. In 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 15. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, and the high place which Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place, he broke down and burnt the high place and stamped it small to powder and burnt the grove. And as Josiah turned, I love this. You think, oh, he's done that to the altar. He's destroyed all that. And what about the other part of the prophecy said that the priest's bones shall be burnt? And he turned, and Josiah turned himself like this, and he spied, oh, just caught his eye, spied. And what did he see? He spied the sepulchres that were there on the mount. And he sent and took the bones out of those sepulchres and burnt them upon the altar and polluted it, according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words 350 years ago. Now, when Jesus says he's coming, listen, brother and sister, he's going to come. I don't care what anyone else says. He's coming right on time. Who wants to be ready to go and meet him? Oh, Lord, may we walk close to you. I just believe his coming is at the door. God's not late. He's never too early, and he's never late. So this is quite an amazing thing that took place. Back to our main story. King Jeroboam was angry, and he stretched forth his arm to arrest the man of God. And his arm withered and froze in place. And he could not lower his arm. He just had to walk around like this all the time. Terrible thing. That's another lesson. We should never speak against a man of God, a servant of God, when he speaks the word of God. Don't you ever speak against a man of God. If you don't understand him, leave it alone. Best just to leave it. And after asking the man of God to pray, his arm was restored. The king was grateful, invited the man of God to his palace to reward him because he was genuinely thankful. But then the man of God made it clear to the king, listen, appreciate that, king, but listen, God has told me not to eat or drink in this place. I cannot come. Even if you gave me half your kingdom, I cannot come. Because that's what God said. This is the man of God, he just stayed with the word of God. And all the glory was to go to the Lord. He didn't want to take any glory. We should never take glory for ourselves. God forbid, what a hideous sin that is. When God heals somebody, You don't get reward for healing, praying for somebody and God heals them. That is a hideous sin. We saw that Elijah's life with a servant. He wanted the gifts. Instead, he got the leprosy. We're going to be very reverent and sincere even today in this year, 2021. We must respect the Word of God. Don't move outside the Word. Stay with what God said. And this is what He said. Amen. This is His Word. Amen. It's the absolute of our soul, the Word of God. Praise be to God. So he told the king, thank you very much, but no thank you. Now God gives clear instructions. I want to say this. God gives clear instructions. When God speaks to us, it's always clear. God does not mumble. When He speaks to any one of you, it's clear. God knows how to come down to a child and speak to him. God speaks to you, it's clear. You don't have to muddle it up and say, oh, I think it meant this, I think it meant that. No, when God speaks, it's clear to you. And God had spoke to this man of God, and it was a very clear and precise message. And he told the king so. The Lord has told me I cannot come and eat and drink with you. He knew exactly what he had to do. And told him so. Well, it says that again in 1 Kings 13:9. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord. This is what he said. It was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way thou hast camest. So he went another way, and he continued not by the way that he came to Bethel. So this man was truly a man of God. Do you believe that? Slayed that altar, king's arm was judged, judgment came, and he healed him by praying to the Lord. The judgment and the miraculous healings of the king's arm and all these things proved that he was truly a man of God with a message from God. And everybody, including the king, knew this was a man of God. But I want to bring something to your attention that we all need to be very careful about. The danger of becoming lax, careless. And I sincerely believe this is a lesson for us all that God has allowed. This man of God passed the test. When the king offered him to come home to his house and come sit down and we'll give you a little banquet, you know, and we'll bless you and reward you. It was a test. He said, no, I can't do that because God said no. He turned down the honor of being the guest of the king with reward. He must have felt very satisfied, the man of God, that his mission was a great success. And it was. It happened what he had been asked to do. His meeting with the people was truly blessed of God and vindicated. Many, I am sure, admired the man of God for his courage and his steadfastness. He was truly a man of God. No doubt he had a great testimony to go back to his people back home, tell them, do you know what God did for us down there? The Spirit of God came upon me and I prophesied. This is what happened. The altar was smashed down. And it spilt ashes out supernaturally. And the king's hand was frozen. I prayed for him and he was healed. You're probably thinking of these things. Maybe it's considered as an outstanding accomplishment. So what he thought he would do is, I'll just sit down. I'll just sit down under this oak tree. That was his mistake. Right there. You know, brother and sister, when you think you can sit down and take things easy, get slack. He sat down under the oak tree and started maybe pondering all the things that had happened. And this is the most dangerous time for all believers. When God blesses you and he helps you and anoints you and does wonderful things for you, and then you think, oh, well, I'll just take things quietly now. I'll just settle down now. And maybe don't pray like you used to. Maybe you just spend more time thinking about other things and you don't spend time thanking God and worshiping Him. He wants to hear your worship every day. But he became slack and said, oh, well, God was with me. He blessed me. Praise God. I'll just sit under this oak tree. Something happens when you sit down under an oak tree. Not an oak tree, but you sit down. You take things quietly. Ease up a bit. I remember, I think it was D.L. Moody, the great evangelist. He was blessed of God, and you know the story. Thousands came to his services, and many were saved and healed. One day, he thought, I'm just getting a little bit tired. Maybe just sat down a little bit. And so he's just getting a little bit wearisome, and he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, listen, Mr. Moody, I believe it's Mr. Moody, forgive me if it's not, but it was a man of God like that. He said, if you're just overworking yourself, Mr. Moody, you need to slow down, you're having too many meetings. He said, I suggest you just take it quietly and settle down under the oak tree. And so what he did, he thought he'd take a little cruise across the Atlantic Ocean. Just have a rest, just a few days, maybe a few weeks, just to settle down. And so that's what he did. But you know what, brother and sister, God's listening to what you're saying. He knows what you're thinking. And when he got on that ship, away it went across the Atlantic. And halfway across the Atlantic, something happened. In that ship, there was a fire in the engine room. And so they had to try and put the fire out, but no matter how hard they tried, they could not put the fire out. So they walking on the decks there, they said to Mr. Moody, you know, I'm sorry, but it doesn't look too good. So he went down into his cabin. He went down into the bottom of the ship and he started to pray. It reminds me of Jonah. And he went down and he started to pray. God, please save us, Lord. If that fire doesn't go out, we're going down. And so he prayed to God. He said, Lord, I want you to please put the fire out in the engine room. They can't do it. Would you please help us, Lord? Otherwise, I'm going to perish. God spoke straight back to him. He says, that's all right. You might as well come home. Come home with me. You don't want to work for me anymore. See, God sees these things. You want to take things easy. It's easy to take things easy and become lethargic, become a sluggard, dilatory. It's easy. Anyone can do that. You don't have to qualify for that. You just start taking things easy. And he said, Lord, would you forgive me? And he cried out to God and repented in the bottom of that ship that God would forgive him of his foolish ways. You know what happened? The fire went out. When he started to pray like that, God put the fire out. So he got under his oak tree. And things start going wrong when you do that. You've got to be more vigilant, more sober, more sincere with God. So it's a dangerous time for the believer to slacken up. Came lax, we start to ponder on how God used us. We come a little lax after it's over. And the man of God was not to eat or to drink, so he should have kept going. Because something happened when he stopped under the oak tree. And God really blesses us. We need to keep going and not become slack. While we're resting a little, that's all it takes. We start resting a little. You got to rest, of course. But I'm talking about just becoming lackadaisical, dilatory. As the Bible says about a sluggard. You become a sluggard. I don't want to be a sluggard. I want to be a servant of the Lord. Doesn't matter how small the work is. That doesn't matter. We're just going to do what he's asked us to do. While he was resting, the second test was on the horizon. A test was coming straight towards him from an most unexpected source. The biggest tests are the spiritual ones. Why, here came a brother. Now watch. A brother came to have sweet fellowship with him. My, what an encouragement this was. For he was a true prophet of God. He was. We can see that in the scriptures. And he came to this man of God. The old prophet came to the man of God who was under the oak tree. What an opportunity to fill him in on some of the details of his last campaign in Bethel. As the man of God became in deep fellowship and sharing the tests, sharing all these things, the test came, as we said, from the most unexpected source. The old prophet said to him, "Come, my brother, come to my home for refreshments. Come back with me, and we can have more fellowship around the word of God." Once again, the man of God spoke the original word given to him, the same word that he gave to the king. It says, and he said, in chapter 13, 16, and he said, "I may not return with thee, nor go with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me, by the word of the Lord, thou shalt not eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again by the way to go by the way thou hast camest." Now watch the trick of the enemy. Watch the trick of the enemy. It says in verse 18, and he said unto him, "I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake to me by the word of the Lord." This is getting really amazing. "Saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water." But the Bible says, but he lied to him. Now, brother and sister, there's something very important here. We'll get to it. I pray that God will help us all. Now, the man of God has been challenged by another word. Another word has come, different from the original word he received. In fact, the word of the angel, though the Bible says he lied, he used the story of the angel. An angel spoke to me and said, "Get him to come back to your house." What would have you done if a man came out with that statement in this situation? Remember, God never changes his word. Never will he change this. This is the final authority. You know what Paul said in Galatians 1:8? "But though we or an angel, from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." So Paul is warning, even if a bright shining angel comes and preaches something different from the gospel, leave it alone. Stay with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul's given a good warning to us there. God had already spoken his word, and God does not change his mind. The man of God already had the word of the Lord. "Thus saith the Lord." And God will never tell something else and then send somebody to change it. God's going to tell you something. He's not going to send somebody along and come with a different narrative. He's not going to come back and say something different to you that he's already said to you. I think I told you this recently, but I was away amongst a whole lot of people at a convention somewhere. sister came up to me. She said, Brother Cyril, you know, we need you. I said, yeah. Oh, yes, she said, we need you. We believe God can speak through you. Why don't you come and join us and preach for us? I said, oh, thank you, sister. But if God wanted to do that, wouldn't he speak to me? Wouldn't he tell me about that? You see, these things don't add up. And this man, he received another word which is different from the original word that was given to him. And it all happened while he's sitting under the oak tree. If he had carried on back to Jerusalem, or Judah it was, if he had gone back, it would have never happened. So that tells me that we should just keep going. Just keep going. Don't be distracted by people. Well-meaning people too sometimes. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God changes not. And the men of God failed to stay with the original word, just as Eve did. She altered it to what the God had said. What trouble followed? Even though the old prophet had a gift, that old prophet had a gift, no question, we'll see in a minute. But he lied. He lied. Because he wanted to have fellowship with him. It's probably a good reason, but he lied. He said an angel came to him. Angel did not come to him. God wouldn't have sent an angel with a different story. He lied. Just so that he could come back to his house for more fellowship. Now we get to this point. God is no respecter of persons. This man of God had been tricked into disobeying the word of the Lord. Who by? Watch carefully. Who was he tricked by? Another man of God. God's not going to speak to you and tell you you need to do this. I want you to do that. I want you to be led this way. And then a man of God come along and said, God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to do this. Sorry, God doesn't do that. I am the Lord, I change not. No wonder Paul said, though we, Paul, or an angel. Even Paul included himself. Though I, Paul, or an angel, speak different. Remember the prophet Moses. He failed to do what he's told to do. He disobeyed God, and he never crossed over into the promised land. He was saved, of course, absolutely, God's prophet. But he made a mistake. God is no respecter of persons, my brother, sister. Whether you're a prophet or a priest or whoever you are, makes no difference to God who you are or what you are. He wants you to obey his word. He wants me to obey his word. Oh, but Lord, I've served you. I've done this, I've done that. Means nothing. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. So we see, sometimes we make ourselves a very difficult road by going our own way. Who wants to obey him? Keep your hands up. Who wants to obey the Lord? Oh, most of you. That's wonderful. I want to obey him. I don't want to be led around by somebody else that looks very spiritual and very anointed even. This prophet was anointed. He was. But not when he told the lie. God would not anoint a lie. So we've got to be careful. And while they were fellowshipping together, the man of God and the old prophet sitting around a table, drinking and eating, which he was told not to do. While they are around the table, the old prophet became anointed and spoke. And it came to pass, it says here in chapter 13, verse 20, it came to pass as they sat at table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord. Ooh. When you hear that, you need to sit up. Thus saith the Lord. For as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandments which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord did say unto thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass, his body, shall not come unto the sepulchres of thy fathers. And I just think, you know, in my thinking, this is so cruel. That man that was prophesying, he was prophesying what he'd done, was the very one that brought him into that sin. But God won't hold your sin against, on somebody else. You've got to make your own decision. You have to say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I don't care what anyone else does. Lord, I'm going to do what you've told me to do. That's it. Who believes that? Say amen. We can't say, oh, brother so-and-so, he was very spiritual. He was really anointed and he really convinced me. Sorry. Can't do that. You stay with what God said. And so he prophesied this. The story goes, the man of God left the old prophet's house knowing what he had done. May God have mercy upon our foolish human ways. Now the Bible says a lion struck him down along the way and he was found dead. What a terrible ending to a successful ministry. Now, brothers and sisters, this happened and God had this written for you and I for a reason. Watch the detail. And God is not a respecter of persons. Doesn't matter whether you're a prophet or whether you're a preacher or who you are. He'll treat you just the same. You see, God wants to show us this. Being a prophet, used of God, or even as a child of God, yields the same result. Now notice God allowed the lion to come out and kill him. Now watch. There was an ass standing there. Got a good feed out of the ass. But he didn't. The lion just killed him. He fell on the ground as a carcass. The donkey, or the ass, what do you want to call it, didn't even run away. It stood there. And you know what? The lion stood there. What is God telling us? This is my hand. This is my work. And they stood there. The lion, the ass, and the man were in one spot for days. And God moves. He moves. I don't want him to move in my life. Who wants God to move in your life? That's why it's so important to walk carefully with the Lord. Be careful. There's no escapes. There's no shortcuts. For a witness to you and I, and all of mankind, that this event that took place to the man of God and through the prophet of God, God's trying to tell us something. I don't care, he's saying, whether he's a man of God, and I believe he was, and he is a prophet of God, and I believe he was. Both of them were men of God. But when human instrumentality gets involved, and we disobey what God's told you to do, trouble's at the door. I'm not trying to frighten you. I'm being honest with you. You'll be so glad on the day when he comes for you that you did the right thing. God is no respecter of persons, whether it be a prophet Will it be a child of God? Even if God uses you, that's wonderful. That doesn't let you off the hook. You've got to obey Him. We must respect His word and obey what He has shown us according to His word. I want to say this in closing. God will never, ever tell you something that's contrary to this Bible. No way. He will not deny His own word because He is the word of God. He can't speak against Himself. So I just want Him to lead me. Just got to watch out for those oak trees. Watch out for those getting slack attitudes. Oh, I don't think I'll go to church this week. Oh, it's pretty tiring. Watch it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to hear the word. That changes lives. You know, brothers and sisters, it's just so real to me, this. The word, hearing the word brings faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what He's told you to do, you better do it. You may not be here tomorrow. You say, oh, no, you don't know. I don't know, but nor do you. We've got to take God seriously. That He'll move in our hearts and realize that He is no respecter of persons. And one other thing I want to tell you. He really loves you. He loves you. You know how you know the Lord loves you? Because He came down and died for you. And He gave His body as a sacrifice for your sin. So, brother and sister, why don't we just do as He says? Whatever He's told us to do, let us just do it. Because we love Him. I just want to love Him. And Brother Lee said in the morning, in the evening, all day, I want to love the Lord. Because He's our Savior. We don't know what's happening in the world. We don't know what's going to happen to America. God forbid. It's serious over there. Going to affect us too. Serious. We need to get close to God. Because I believe God's going to take His people out of here, off this earth, soon. He said He'll come in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Those who have been repented of their sins, have been filled with the Holy Ghost. God's coming to take you. And I'm going to meet Him in the air. I'm going to meet Him in the air, Brother Andrew. Won't that be wonderful? Amen. Who loves the Lord? Let's just stand to our feet, shall we, as we just close. God is no respecter of persons. He loves us, and He wants us to obey Him. And the reason He wants us to obey Him is He wants to help us. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we come to Thee this morning knowing, Lord, the great responsibility every one of us have. Lord, just forbid us to go under the oak tree, Lord, and start wasting time and dwelling upon things that have nothing to do with what You've told us to do. Lord, I just pray You'll help us to be faithful and true. Lord, when I think of what You did for us when You came to earth and You went to Calvary, and Lord, the times You preached to the thousands on the hillside and You're weary and tired and worn from the heat of the day, Lord, You were there. The Bible says when You saw the multitude, You were filled with compassion. So, Lord, I just pray that You'll be filled with compassion towards the people here today and those joining us. Lord, may we not be careless like the man of God was. Lord, had sat under an oak tree and started pondering these things and was caught up with the wrong message. He came with a wrong word to him. I pray, Lord, that we'll hear the word of the Lord and do that which is right. I commit it to You now in Jesus' name. Amen. What a beautiful song. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory it sheds on our way. While we do His good will. That's what He wants. He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Just say it. Trust and obey. That's what God wants you to do. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, glory.
hallelujah. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Before we sing the next verse, maybe there's somebody here that needs to obey. The Holy Spirit's telling you, you need to get right with God. You've never repented of your sins. You've never really taken a stand for God. You've gone along with God. But he doesn't want us to go along with him. He wants us to become a part of him. And you really want to trust and obey God speaking to you. Don't sit under the oak tree. Do what God's telling you to do. This is a last call. And if you have any sickness or anything, who believes God's a healer? Not just the healer, he's my healer. You can't say, oh, God heals. We know he heals, but he's your healer. I am the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. That's what God says, and that's what he will do the minute you believe him. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but a toil we diagnosed as bowel cancer. I believe this oil represents the Holy Ghost. They shall anoint the sick with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Amen. Now, brother and sister, if any brother feels to pray, don't come unless you believe it. Don't you leave your seat. We only want people that really believe that you'd like to pray with him, pray with us, that God will totally heal him, because God's got a job for our brother to do. Isn't that wonderful? Praise be to God. So if anyone wants to come, you come right now. If you believe that Jesus Christ is your healer. Brother Andrew, I anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We believe you, Lord. We believe you, Lord. We lay our hands upon our brother in Jesus' wonderful name. I pray that the healing virtue of Calvary will be in his bones, Lord. You'll heal this condition. Satan, we bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Satan, I command you to come out. You demon of cancer, take your hands off God's property in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, you promised it. It's yours, brother. Just go say thank you, Lord. Every day say thank you, Lord, for healing. Don't ever say anything else. Amen. Anybody else? Oh, sister.
Let's sing a new one here. 263. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. That words is for the Lord to know your heart. You know what he does? Let's sing it under him. Search me, O God. I pray.
to sing the next verse, but the altar's still open. Even though the pastor's not here, if you feel you want to pray at the altar, come do it anyway. Do something about it if you need to as we sing this. And then I'll close in prayer, and we're going to have a luncheon over there. All are welcome, invited. And our next meeting will be next Sunday, and there's no afternoon meeting today nor next Sunday. It's just a morning meeting next Sunday. Shall we sing? Oh, Holy Ghost, revival comes from thee. Send a revival, start the work in me. Lord Jesus, we're very grateful for what we've learned today. It's good to have a refreshing, and we also need to know where we're walking and what we're listening to and where we come in to the things of God. Cause us, Lord, to be a testimony for wherever we go, by mouth, by life, by the sheer fact that we love you, Lord, we know that the love will come on through. Just bless us, Lord, with the luncheon and fellowship we're about to have. Thank you, Lord, for that. Bless the people that listened in overseas, their time of listening. They're coming a day, maybe very soon, when we'll all be together. I'm looking forward to it, expecting it. Bless them, Lord Jesus. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Out of courtesy for the Lord, and the auditorium, please don't talk in here. Just go quietly and do all your talking in the foyer or over in the room. You are dismissed.